Rand, you told me that you were actually registered as a Democrat for 44 years. What made you switch?
Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton made me switch. I was a gung-ho Democrat, and I worked to get Bill Clinton elected. I voted for him twice, and he cured me of my Democratic tendencies. He gave us NAFTA, which was, I don't consider, a good thing. NAFTA hasn't really led to a benefit of the Mexican or the American people. The telecom companies, he gave them carte blanche, basically. He became a corporate president. He was my first image of what a corporate president looks like.
Do you think that some of what Bill Clinton did during his presidency actually contributed to the financial crisis that happened during Bush's presidency and then into Obama's?
Are you asking me if I think Clinton contributed to that? Of course I do, sure. But he didn't start it. It was pretty much Reagan, I think, who started it.
And how did Reagan start it?
He was just with the privatization of everything, which led to George Bush's ownership society. It was the belief that the country is best run when it is owned. And I think Reagan got that started, and Bill Clinton and all the rest since then have basically been working under that system.
Why do you think that there's a growing number of unaffiliated voters? I mean, we have here, it's the second largest registered group.
Yeah. We're so sick of being betrayed by the Democrats. You know, I'm not even going to talk about the Republicans. You know, we've been made promises of all kinds. Obama, I believed Obama hook, line, and sinker, and I voted for him in 2008. And the only promises he kept were basically to the military-industrial complex. But he, you know, he did throw the people some crumbs.
What were those crumbs, do you feel?
Oh, his support of gay marriage, of gay couples being okay, which really didn't mean anything.
What about Obamacare?
It's a sellout to the insurance companies. It's a delivery to the insurance companies of 30 million new people who are going to use their service in return for some of the crumbs that the insurance companies will remit back to the people.
Who are you going to vote for?
You know, I'm really going for Jill Stein, but I like Rocky Anderson also. I mean, they're both of them running on people campaigns with issues that directly support the people.
Do you worry that that vote will go to, you know, that will ultimately go towards Romney?
You know, and I hate that question because it's you know, it's the lesser of two evil arguments. If you vote for who you really want in your heart, you're going to take away the votes for this person that you do not support in any way, although he is supposedly going to do less harm than the other guy. And that keeps us stuck in that system, and I don't like it. So I've always voted for the lesser of two evils ever since Clinton, and this is going to be the first time that I'm not going to.
Do you think that we're in a period in our country where things are going to change drastically as far as our political system goes?
They have to. They have to. They can't keep going on like this. You know, I mean, you can't keep doing something unsustainably like we're doing. We can't continue putting carbon in the atmosphere and thinking that it's just going to go away somehow, like the Earth isn't going to heat up, you know. I mean, the Earth is forcing a change on us, and we're not going very willingly.
What issues do you think were brought up in this campaign that you're glad they were brought up, and then also issues that, you know, never get brought up that you think should be on the table?
I just watched the debate last night, and I really had to force myself to sit and watch it. You know, there was not one question about the climate. I mean, anybody watching the debate would think there's no climate issues happening at all. They didn't even mention that. The downsizing of the middle class is an issue that nobody is talking about. Everything is about jobs, as if, you know, if we just create those jobs, no matter how we do it, then everything is going to be fine. We've got to start investing in new energy sources which are not polluting. And this is a good thing because it's going to create jobs in those industries. And I would say to the coal miners and their families, you know, life is on the planet is changing and it's not for the good. And you can transition into work that is not as damaging to the planet. This can't be just about keeping your jobs. There's more to it than that. And I don't want them to lose their jobs, but I don't want to lose the environment either. What's the point of a job if you can't breathe the air? You know, all the candidates are really for this position of austerity that all the world leaders are basically taking on right now. We are in a time of financial crisis, and instead of going after the people who are making caboodles of money, we are taking the money out of poor people's pockets to make up for what the corporations and the wealthy have stolen. Is that an issue that was even in the debates? It wasn't. Austerity is not what you do when you're in an economic crisis.
So I guess what I'm trying to find out is like a concrete kind of like, how would you fix it? I know there's, you know, that's a huge question.
Yeah.
But like what I find just with some of the alternative candidates like Jill Stein or is that they say the world should just be a better place where everyone has a job and things are good again. But they don't seem to ever have like a concrete way of how they would accomplish that. So I'm just...
Sure. It's a big question, and there's no easy answer to it. But I would start off with something like proportional representation of our government. The system we have now is winner-take-all. So if the loser gets 49% and the winner gets 51%, the winner gets 100% of everything. And then the 49% are totally disenfranchised. So I would start off with a system that
like,
did that.
Like a parliament where...
Like a parliament to base it on that. And then, you know, you've got to take the money out of politics. Our President Obama just passed $1 billion in contributions, you know, and he's way ahead of Romney. He's being purchased by people who are going to have expectations of him, and he is going to have to do something about that. So I would say take the money out of politics, which neither Democrats or Republicans are ever in favor of. You can't have a democracy if money is controlling your government. I could go on for for ages, you know. The surveillance state that Obama does nothing to stand up to. And he's not, and it's getting worse all the time. Every place you go, there's a camera watching you. And they have these detention centers built all over the country. Obama is not fighting this. And I don't like having a president that can assassinate anybody he wants in the world or detain them without any kind of oversight from a judge. That's not the power the president has or I want him to have. So, Ellie, I could go on for hours. And I.
So you feel that he's violating our Constitution, basically.
He is a constitutional scholar who is helping to shred the Constitution, yes. I do. I don't think he's a friend of the Constitution.